morning. Good morning, little brother. How are you over there? It's a blessing to be here this morning, and it's always a blessing and an opportunity to come and gather together so that we can have fellowship one with another and encourage each other in the Lord. Amen. It's nothing better. That's one of the biggest benefits of being a Christian and belonging to a house of God, that you have brothers and sisters that you can come and gather with and have fellowship with and assembly together, so that as you worship together and as we fellowship together and as we sit under the word together, we grow together and we begin to just love each other even more. I want to thank everyone that's here this morning, whether those of you who come on a regular basis, the members of this house. We always thank God for you and for your attendance here. We thank God for those of you who are visiting this morning from wherever you're visiting from. We thank you for choosing to worship with us here at Calvary Chapel Westmoreland this morning. And as always, we thank all those who, if you're coming in from out of town, maybe because we got Thanksgiving coming up and you're here from out of town traveling, welcome home. And also welcome to Calvary. And for those of you who are listening online, whether it's on Facebook, YouTube, or however you're listening, we thank God for you this morning. And for the prison ministry, brother men and women, we thank God for your presence. We always thank God that you choose to worship and get into the Word of God with us on Sunday mornings. Got a special treat this morning that we're going to call up one of our brothers who attends here at Calvary Chapel when he's in town. His parents attend here. Beautiful family, beautiful people. And our brother is in missions. And we love it when God gets a hold of somebody's heart, particularly the young people. God gets a hold of your heart and moves on you to do something for the kingdom of God. And you obey that. That is a wonderful thing. And this is a young man who I think is going to be just a great example for other young people who are dealing with the issues of life and just showing how obeying God helps us to navigate through some very different things, very difficult times, even as a young man. So Christian, if you could please come up. Christian is here. Amen. Amen. There you go. If you can just tell us a little bit, Christian, about what you've been involved in over the past year or so.
Yeah, for sure. So if you don't know me, my name is Christian Riley. My parents are Michael and Carlonda Riley. They've been going here for about 2.5 years now. So whenever I come home for Thanksgiving, Christmas, or just little visits, Calvary Chapel is home. And so I've loved coming here and being a part of what all of you guys are doing here in Greensburg, Westmoreland County. So one thing I just want to say is I just wanted to thank you, Calvary Chapel, you as an individual, for supporting me. This last summer, I had the opportunity to go with the CREW ministry. CREW used to be known as Campus Crusade for Christ, but now it's called CREW. It is a campus ministry. And I had the opportunity to go to Jacksonville, Florida for a full summer and be on missions there. When I normally thought about missions, I always thought about it as kind of going somewhere and building houses or kind of doing other things in the community, and that's definitely a part of missions, but the way that CREW does missions is something that I've been so blessed by. How CREW specifically does missions is it goes and it sends people to different places, either it's overseas or here in the States, and what they do specifically is they equip you, right? They give you the tools to go out and to be sent. And so really our summer focused on equipping us to learn, okay, how do we share the gospel? How do we meet other people where they're at? How do we listen to their stories? How do we speak the gospel into their stories? And so this summer I really had the opportunity to learn some of those skills, learn some of those tools, and apply them in so many different areas. I had a job this summer down in Jacksonville, and so I was working a lot on kind of talking to my coworkers about, okay, like, what does faith look like for you? What does the gospel look like for you? Where are you at in your spiritual journey? We went out to the beach. Yes, the beach. Love the beach. We went out and shared with people just randomly, right? Going and asking them about their stories, asking them about some of the different things that that the Lord's been doing in their life. And then we also worked with a couple different ministries. So we worked with some ministries that were specifically looking at underprivileged kids, right? So we were kind of going to their communities, showing them the love of Christ, sharing the gospel with them, even at a young age. And then also working with some homeless ministries as well, really just to love on the people that are out there and kind of really just show them the love of Christ. I just wanted to thank you for investing in me. Something that I think we all can probably think about is after a missions trip, right, it kind of ends there. It doesn't. Missions trips continue, right? So investing in a missions trip is investing in a person, and that person can go out and invest in more things. So it's been really exciting this year. I just started a graduate student Bible study at the University of Delaware. We thought we were going to get like maybe one or maybe two people, but we have 12 people right now that are coming out to our Bible study, and it's grad students, young adults. Other people are trying to get in too. It's great. It's a really fun opportunity. We're speaking into people's lives, people who have grown up in the church, and also people who know nothing about the gospel. Literally last Thursday, I just had a 3-hour conversation with one of our brothers who is Hindu, who has been coming to our Bible study and just trying to learn about what Christianity is about. And actually telling him, okay, this is like what the gospel looks like. This is what it means for your life, and this is how it's so much better than any other way. So I wanted to challenge you with one last thing. And sorry, it's going to be hard to hold this microphone in this book. But we read this book. It's called Sent. Sent is an amazing book. Please go and read it. Sent is a book about how we are called to live a sent life by the Lord. And that's not just in Jacksonville, Florida, or over in the Middle East, right? That's a sent life here, where we are, Greensburg, Westmoreland County. So I just wanted to read this passage from Jeremiah 1:7-8. It says, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you and I will rescue you." Right? And so I think we kind of hear that first part and we're like, okay, I'm too young. Some of us are a little bit younger than others here. But I think that we can kind of put anything in this chapter, right? Do not say, "I am too old." Right? Do not say, "I am too busy." Do not say, "I am too different. I'm too awkward. I'm too introverted." Do not say, "I'm just a banker," or "I just work in a business," or "maybe I'm in prison," right? There's all these excuses that we kind of say just not live out that sent life. But the Lord says, you must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you, right? God has commanded us to go and share the gospel, not just with people who are in different states or different places, but with the people that are in our lives. So I really just want to encourage you every day to ask yourself, God, could you really use me in the lives of other people to introduce them to Jesus? And I think if you really ask that, whether you are the oldest person in the room, the youngest, whether you don't believe in yourself, whether you're introverted or you're extroverted, right? If you ask yourself that every day, the Lord will show up, the Lord will send you, and you will live a really rich life. That's what I've been experiencing in doing ministry right now. So thank you. I really appreciate all of you guys.
Hold on to the mic for a second. I got to, here, you drop this, by the way. I think we can just go home right now, can't we? The message already been preached. My goodness. Well, we know what he's going to be doing after crew. The Lord has already got his hand on this young man. This young man is going to be a preacher. I'm just wondering, just a quick question. You answered most of the things that I had any intention on asking you, but personally, how have this experience affected you? I mean, I can tell that you're way out of you know, this might not have been your comfort zone about a while ago, but now you are just blossoming. So personally, how has this ministry affected you?
That's a really good question. I think it's just really given me a picture of like what the gospel actually is. I think it's really easy to kind of grow up in church and kind of think through, okay, like I need to do all these things to be good, right? I need to do all these things and then therefore the Lord will save me. Or like I need to do all these things. I need to follow all the rules. I need to blah, 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 X, Y, Z, whatever that looks like for you. And I feel like crew has been really good, not only from like people telling it to me, but from me telling it to other people and realizing, okay, like the gospel is God wanted to have a personal relationship with me and I couldn't have that, right? I was sinful, I was broken, and there was just no way that I was going to get anywhere close to the Lord, even in all the things I could try to do. And then that's what where Jesus comes in, right? Jesus is like that purpose. Jesus is the person that came in, died on the cross for our sins, perfectly God, perfectly man, came back, resurrected, and now I get to be in personal relationship with him. Amen. If I receive that gift.
Amen.
So I think that's definitely been one of the most impactful things, is like actually realizing that, actually understanding that, realizing how powerful the word is, how much it like speaks into our life. It's not just like words on a page, right? The word is alive and active. It doesn't return void. So I think that's definitely what it looks like for me. Yeah.
Are you seeing more young people come into the faith through Crew?
Yeah. No, I think like growing up, I didn't really understand like the purpose of evangelism and talking to other people about the gospel. Crew is really good. Our two main things is that we say we're focused on discipleship, which is super important, right? Building up that foundation, but also evangelism, right? That's a tangible part. Our identity is as ambassadors for Christ. We are royal priesthoods, right? We're supposed to go out and we're supposed to go tell people about the gospel. So yes, it's been really cool. I actually, before we started our grad student Bible study, I was a part of another Bible study that was working with freshman guys up into sophomore guys. And the year before I had went on my missions trip, we had seen probably about 4 guys come to faith, which was really cool. Just from like going out and sharing the gospel, asking them about their perspectives on life. So yeah, it's been really cool at the University of Delaware. I'm scared if I ever leave because I'm like, will this happen other places? And it will, right? It'll happen wherever you are because God sends us to the specific places that we're in for a reason, right? You're in your circles, not just because randomly, right? Like the Lord put you specifically in your families, in your homes, in your jobs, in your communities, in your neighborhoods, specifically to bring other people to the Lord, right? God is constantly drawing people, right? And we are invited into that process of sharing the gospel with other people. So it's really cool.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, thank you very much. Stay here for a moment. We want to pray with you. Michael and Carlana, could you come up, please? If you can, because you're probably in tears, emotional right now by hearing, just seeing your son, the growth in this young man spiritually. I'm sure it's a blessing to you. We just want to pray for this young man. I mean, what a blessing. This is really what it's all about. Obviously, Crew is one of the missions that we here at Calvary Chapel support, along with many, many others. But actually, as you walk out the door here, on the wall is a display of all the missions that we support here monthly at Calvary Chapel, the missions that we support all over the world. All over the world, there's different people. There's other people just like Christian doing the exact same thing and touching lives and doing evangelism in other parts of the world. So this is what we really, really believe in. It's what we really love. It's another way of how the gospel is getting out beyond what it is that we're doing here. So we thank God for that. And there's also a book out there that's on a stand that will let you know more about those families that we're supporting and more about where they're located and their missions, their ministries that they're doing. So thank you, because all that you give goes in, much of what you give goes in to do what this young man is doing and supporting these kind of missions. So thank you so much for giving. Because in this time of Thanksgiving, this is what it's about, because God has given us so much. He's blessed us tremendously. And this is what we are to do, is to give and to be a blessing to others. So thank you, brother, for your obedience to the Lord. Let's pray for this young man and his family. Father God, we just thank you for all that you are doing in this young man's life, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's abiding on the inside of him. It's causing him, oh God, to just grow in leaps and bounds, and you're teaching him. You've given him a hunger and a thirst for your word and for righteousness. I pray, Father, that you will continue to just develop that magnetic personality that he has, and that glow that he has, and that enthusiasm that he has for your word, how infectious it is, and how it will bring other young people to come and see that you are good. Father, I thank you for his parents, who from a young age have poured in the word and have poured in the faith in this young man. So he's been able to see an example of those who are endeavoring to live according to the Christian faith. So, Father, I thank you for that example. And I pray, God, that you will give him wisdom, continue to give them wisdom on how to handle this young man, on how to be a counselor to him in times when he needs help, how to encourage him, Lord, in those tough times when he's being challenged, how to continue to feed him the word and continue to remind him of the word, Lord, and who he is in you, no matter where he's at or who he's around. So, Father, we thank you for your hedge of protection around both him and his parents, and we pray, God, that you would just continue to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, bless you, brother. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Wow, what a blessing that was, eh? Well, let's briefly turn to 1 Peter. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter, and we're actually going to pick it up there, 1 Peter, chapter, the end of chapter 1, which is at verse, we're going to pick it up at verse 24, but we're going to just do a little recap, and before we go there, there's something else that I would like to take a look at. So let's pray, and then we're going to go and get into the Word of God, amen? Father, once again, we come before your throne of grace, and we just ask for your wisdom. We ask for your anointing. We ask for your guidance, for your direction, Lord, and your word. We ask for clarity. We ask, God, for your revelation. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would be with us and manifest yourself among us today. Lord, it's not important that the people hear from me, but it's all important that we hear from you. Lord, feed us. Because if you don't feed us, Lord, we won't eat. We'll leave here hungry. We'll leave here desiring food that we never got today, Lord. But Father, if you speak, we'll be full. If you speak to us, Lord, we'll be enriched. So God, we ask even now that you would open your mouth and that you would reveal to us your truth in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as we go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, the end of it, Peter says something very interesting. And I had asked the last time that we were talking about 1 Peter that we remember the backdrop here. And that is the fact that Peter is actually an eyewitness to the things that Jesus did in his ministry. Peter walked with him, and Peter ate with him, and Peter studied with him. So Peter heard his messages. He heard the truths that Jesus spoke, whether it was on the Sermon on the Mount or just times when he was talking to the apostles individually or the times that he would talk to them as that inner circle. So Peter had an opportunity to really know what the things that were on Jesus' heart. So when he says here in verse 22 that since you have been purified in your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And we had mentioned last week that he emphasizes, or we emphasize, the fact that we are to love sincerely, the fact that we are to love fervently and with a pure heart. And this whole issue of love goes way beyond just Peter. I mean, this is one of those consistent truths that we hear in the Word of God in the entire New Testament. Just about every writer in the New Testament and in the Old emphasize love of the brethren. Everyone. So this is a truth that Jesus really wants us to get here in the local church or in the church at whole, that we love one another. Because when we love one another, there's no room for division. There's no room for any of the negative things that would cause us to be at odds with each other. But we would just be a body of believers who would love and support each other in times of need and otherwise. And there are some apostles who spoke about love and even more in depth. And that's one of the things I love about the Word of God, because you can go through the Gospels and there are different things that Jesus teaches in the Gospels that maybe one particular writer writes some things about it, but then in another Gospel, it's going to be even more talked about. It's going to be developed even more. So it gives us more information on it. And we know that John was considered to be that apostle of love. So where love was concerned, when Jesus was concerned, because he called himself the apostle that Jesus loved, but we know that Jesus loved all of his apostles. He loved all of his disciples. He loved them all. But this particular apostle was very focused on the love of Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to turn back here and read a couple strong statements that John made over in 1 John, over in chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. He makes some strong statements about love. And he says this, he says, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." That's a very strong statement. Very strong statement. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren. If the world hates you, we know that we have passed." This is a very strong statement as well, and I want you to hear this. "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren." Please hear that. That is one of the evidences that lets us know that we are saved, when we have love for the brethren. So we know that we have passed from death to light if we have love for the brethren. "He who does not love his brethren abides in death." Another very strong statement. Then I want to hop over here to verse 16. Just go down to verse 16, same chapter. He says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." Catch this. "And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren." So to love one another is to not be selfish and have everything to be about us, but to love one another is to lay that down for the good of the brethren, for the good of our sisters, for the good of those that are in our fellowship, to put our feelings, to put our thoughts aside. What's best for this brother that's struggling? What's best for this sister that's going through a hard time? What's best for this family who's in need? What's best for them? And then I want to drop down to verse 18. He says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Don't let us just walk into this congregation every week and say, "I love you. I love you. Good to see you. I love you." As you leave and bye, "I love you." But let us do it indeed. Let us actually demonstrate love. The Bible says that Jesus demonstrated his love for us. God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. While we were yet sinners. So he demonstrated that love. Let our love be a demonstration of what it is that we do. And then he says, "In this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Another strong statement down here in verse 23, same chapter. He says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." And then one last one that I want to mention is over in chapter 4 of 1 John. And he simply says this, looking at verse 7. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God." Another very strong statement. "And knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So I just want to stop there, but there's more statements in the book of John, 1 John, that talks about this love that we should have. And then back in 1 Peter, looking at verse 22 and 23, he says that, yes, we should love one another, and we should love each other with a sincere heart. We should love each other fervently, that means deeply and with intensity, and we should love each other with a pure heart. That means without hypocrisy, without having any agenda, without having loving somebody just because of what we can get or what that person can do for us, but just to love them for love's sake, to love them because love loved us. So we should love. And then in verse 23, it tells us, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So before we can have that kind of love, before we can experience that kind of agape love, or before we can treat someone with that kind of love, we first have to be born again. We first have to be born again, because this is not of the flesh. This kind of love is not of the flesh. This kind of love is of the Spirit. And the only way that we would be able to demonstrate this kind of love is through the Holy Spirit, which we receive once we believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's why it's so important that as believers that we always pray and ask God to be filled with His Spirit so that we can walk through these things as He desires us to walk through them, to love one another, to love one another, because that's where everything else starts in walking with the Lord, is love for one another. And he's made that clear in several places. But then he goes on and he said, now it's important that we are born again of incorruptible seed, because the first time we were born of corruptible seed. So then we go down here to verse 24. He says, because all flesh is as grass. Uh-oh. All flesh is as grass. Now Peter's going to make a difference here. He's going to talk about the difference between that which is born of corruptible seed versus that which is born of incorruptible seed. That which is spiritual versus that which is natural. That which is heavenly versus that which is of the earth. So he makes this declaration here, and he says that we who love, he said, we who love, he said, all flesh, all of us that are born of incorruptible seed, we have the word of God in us that lives and abides forever. However, those of us that are only born of corruptible seed, we are as flesh. Our flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. So he's telling us here, he says, you know, our lives, our bodies and our lives, period, we're in a temporary state here, being in this flesh. We're in a temporary state here. So we don't have the ability to love the way that Jesus is telling us to love through Peter because of our corruptible birth, flesh and blood. And these things change. You know, my wife and I, we did an autumn ride. We took a train. And it started at Hollidaysburg and went into Bedford. And it was a beautiful ride. I mean, we wanted to see this foliage. We wanted to see the leaves change. We wanted to see all the colors. And it was beautiful. We saw all the colors that we wanted to see. But we saw it from a different perspective. We saw it from the interior of the mountain. So usually we're riding down 22 or one of those other roads that shows the beauty. I mean, it's beautiful. You ride down the turnpike and different places going towards Harrisburg. I wish I could, take pictures every time. But it's just so beautiful. But this time we caught it from a perspective of being in the interior part of the mountain. So we were looking up and we were seeing all these beautiful colors. And it was just awesome. But then as I was studying that, and I was studying this, and I was thinking back on those things that I saw. And the truth of the matter is this. Those things are only going to be like that for a season. It's going to change. It's not going to stay that way. In a couple weeks, if I go back to those same places that I thought was so breathtaking, it's not going to look that way. Because it's going to change. It's going to change. And those things that we saw that were so beautiful is going to die off. The flowers, the leaves are going to fall off. And the flowers are going to fall off. And they're going to wither and they're going to die. And so are we. So is this body of ours. Eventually, one day, it is going to wither and it is going to die. It is going to die. But this is not the body that is going to inherit heaven. Thank God. This is not the body that's going to inherit heaven. We are going to have a spiritual body that will inherit heaven. Everything on us is going to, before we go into heaven, everything on us is going to change. We got to take off this corruptible body and we're going to put on a spiritual body. We're going to put on an incorruptible body. It was Paul that talked about it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, behold, I'm going to tell you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep, but every one of us are going to be changed. And it's going to happen quickly. It's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet is going to sound. And the dead in Christ is going to be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible body must put on incorruption. Before we enter heaven, we have got to take off this old body that's going to wither and fade away. And we got to put on incorruption. And this body, which is mortal, that means it's going to die, we have to put on immortality. And when this corruption has put on incorruption and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall it be said that which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? They don't have any more because we will change. We will have, that's part of this inheritance that 1 Peter talked about over in chapter 1 when he says that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and it's reserved for us. So, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? For the sting of the death is the law. The strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God who gives us that victory. Amen? We don't have to worry about that. So all we have to, amen, that's right. So all we have to do, he said, be steadfast. Be unmovable. And be about the work of the Lord. Because we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. So let's keep going. I know it's hard. I know sometimes it gets even harder, but keep going because we are going to change. And this old body that we have here, it is not going into heaven. We have a new body. It's part of the inheritance that Peter talked about over there. So then he says there, so that we know that all flesh is as grass and the glory of man is the flower of the grass and the grass withers and its flower falls away. But, the word of the Lord endures forever. So there's a different makeup. So we who have the word of the Lord in us, we who have are born of that incorruptible seed, just as the word of God endures forever, we live forever. We live forever. What a blessing that is, that we have that opportunity to just live forever. In fact, in John chapter 1, when the Bible said, when John was talking, and he says that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, all who believes, he gave the power or the authority to become the children of God to as many who believed in his name, born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So thank God that we are born of God. And because of that, we have eternal life. That's our inheritance. Because the very word that we heard that touched our hearts and caused us to believe and to be born again is an eternal word from an eternal source. Thank the Lord. And then he goes on and here in the bottom of 25, and he says, now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And we talked about last week how just like the word that we heard and was preached to, and it touched our hearts, it went into this, you know, that seed went into our hearts and caused us to believe, and that brought our salvation on, is the same word that people who went before us who were saved. That's the same word that they heard. They heard the same gospel, the same truth. And thank God it doesn't change. It doesn't change. Nor does it change, nor does the power of it change. It was ever living then, it's ever living now. It was a divine word then, it's a divine word now. It's an unchanging word then, it's an unchanging word now. It doesn't change. And your legacy, the children that you leave, whether it's of the children through blood or children by you, you know, getting sons and daughters through the faith, it doesn't change for them either. The same word has the same power to be able to bring forth life in them and through in other people that they preach to, just like it did for us. This young man is doing evangelism, and he's going to be preaching the exact same word that he heard that was preached to him, that was preached to his mother and father, that was preached to their parents, that was preached to the people who came before them. That very same word, and it is going to have the very same effect on those who receive it. It is going to go into their hearts, it's going to change them, and they too are become the children of God. Amen? The very same word. Now, this is the word that was preached to you through the gospel that was preached to you. And then he goes into chapter 2, and he says here, therefore, because of the fact that you were born again, because of the fact that because you were born again, you have sincere love, you have fervent love, and you have love from a pure heart, because you were born of this incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever, because of that, lay aside these earthly attitudes. Lay these things aside. It's time for us to walk in the Spirit of the Lord and lay aside the earthly things, these earthly attitudes. And he's going to mention five of these things that actually oppose love. They oppose love. And the first one he mentions here, he says, lay aside malice. That's ill speaking. That's speaking ill and having ill will in our hearts and thinking ill things toward other people. He said, lay that stuff aside. Lay that aside. And deceit or guile. He said, lay those things aside, which is nothing more than craftiness of words or actions to get what we want. Lay those things aside. It's intentional dishonesty is what it is. Deceit is intentional dishonesty. In order for you to get what you want, it's a very selfish action. Deceit is a very selfish action. And as you look at these things, you'll see how they connect. Because if you're not of a loving heart and you develop malice in your heart or this ill will toward others, then eventually you will have these craftiness of words. You'll be deceitful and you'll have these craftiness of words for your own benefit. And in order to try to hide those things, and in order to try to cover up your deceit or cover up your malicious actions, you will become a hypocrite. I will become a hypocrite. When I try to cover up my malice, I try to cover up my deceit, and then I have to pretend to be something or someone that I'm not. Because I can't risk me being exposed to you for who I really am. So then I become a hypocrite. Oh, I walk and look like you. I talk like you. Act like you sometimes. But in my heart, far from the word of God. And not only that, but he says, then you become envious. Which means that, you know, and this envious will produce malice once we're envious of someone. And this envy actually includes jealousy. It includes covetousness. It includes all those kind of things. It's being resentful. and being discontent with who we are. And because of that, it can lead, if we're envious of someone, if we're covetous of someone, if we're jealous of someone, it can lead, or ultimately will lead, to evil speaking. Then we'll begin to slander somebody. We'll start slandering. Now, I'll slander you because I don't like you. I'm not going to let you know I don't like you, but I don't like you. So I'll slander you, not in front of your face now, but I'll talk to people behind your back. And I'll find out as much as I can find out about you, and then I'll talk to other people about you. And I'll just damage your reputation that way because I have malice in my heart, and because I'll become deceitful by letting you think that I really have a relationship with you and I like you, when in actuality I don't. And because of that, I'll become a hypocrite. I now have envy in my heart because I'm jealous of something that you got. Maybe you have a position that I wanted and I didn't get it, so I'm jealous of you. Or maybe you own something that I want and never was able to get it, so I'm jealous of that. Peter's bringing these things out, and he's saying, look, these are the problems that go against loving in the church. These are the things that go against loving. And so we evil speak, we slander someone. So these things are contrary to loving. But then he goes to verse 2, and he says, as newborn babes, so desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Which is an awesome, awesome thing, because when you look at it, if you look at it in terms of a natural birth, and one of the things that, you know, whether you're born again of the flesh or born again of the spirit, the one thing that it does have in common is that we start off as babes. We start off as babes in the natural, we start off as babes in the faith. We first got saved, we weren't where we are now. We had to mature, we had to grow. So when we first get saved, Peter is saying, so look, as newborn babes, he's talking to new believers. He says, so as newborn babes, you should desire the pure milk of the word. The pure milk of the word. The undiluted word. The unadulterated word. The word that is untainted. Desire that word. Desire that word, because word that is not pure, word that is not unadulterated, there's things in that word that will stop your growth. It will stop your growth. I mean, it's just like milk of a baby. If they don't get the nutrients that should be in the milk, which usually comes, if it comes from the mother, there are things in that milk that helps the child to grow. And if they don't get that, it can stunt their growth. It can stop, it can slow their development, their growth development. And the same thing is true in the spirit. That's why it's important. It's important that we teach and while we hear the true word, the pure word, right from the word itself. Not reading it from another book and then trying to make comments on it, but right from the Bible itself, the true word of God. And that's what we endeavor to do on a weekly basis, is to get the pure, because that's the only way we can grow. That's the only way we can grow. And he says, you know, and the purpose of reading and studying the word of God, it's not so that we can quote more scripture. It's not so that we can, you know, memorize more of the Bible. And you know, not so that we can feel good about how much Bible we know. It doesn't increase just the Bible knowledge. That's not why we should go into the Bible and study it. We go into the Bible and we study the Bible so that we can grow. So that we can grow. So that we can look more like Jesus Christ. And as that word gets into us and it begins to work in our hearts, then we begin to stop doing some things that we've done before, and we begin to look more like Jesus Christ. Because if I'm honest, if I look at all those things that I just named, whether it be the hypocrisy or whether it was the deceit, if I look at it from the maliciousness or malice, envy, I've experienced all that. I've experienced all those things myself. And it's only the word of God that can work in my heart, that can take that out of me, that stops me from going there. I mean, there's things that we can think being saved that can be malicious if we feel that we're offended. We can get malicious. And if we allow our flesh to have control as opposed to the spirit, we'll walk those things out. We can be deceitful if we think it's going to stop us from having to take responsibility for something that we did or something that we said. If I think, you know, I mean, hey, we can be deceitful. I can turn this thing around and make it look like it's not my fault. Be deceitful. So I never have to take responsibility for it. If the Holy Spirit does not get into me and help me to see that this is what I'm doing, and this is how I'm acting, and this is how it impacts someone else, we could do those things. None of us are above it. None of us are above it. Satan will try to hit us anywhere he possibly can. So Peter said, one of the ways that we can avoid that is to grow. And you need the pure milk of the word to do that. Grow. So every week that we come here, we're here to grow. Every Wednesday night that we come, every Sunday that we come, every Bible study we attend, we're here for the purpose of growing. That's the purpose. Getting the word and growing. And then the time has gotten away, so we're going to have to. I don't want to start this other one right now. I don't want to start chapter 4. So let's go ahead and end here. And we'll come back next week, and we'll start talking about Jesus Christ as the living stone. We talked about him before as the living hope, but now we're going to talk about him as the living stone. Praise and worship team, you can come forward, please. Awesome thing about the word of God is just the fact that it's true. I heard one time, from a very wise man. We're talking about relevant truth and talking about false teaching and things of that nature. And he said, you know the one thing about a lie? You know the worst thing? He said, the one thing about a lie, the most significant thing about a lie, he says the fact that it's a lie. And the best thing about the truth is the fact that it is the truth. And then he went on to teach me how truth can always stand under scrutiny. When we tell the truth, when we study the truth, when we believe the truth, it can always stand under scrutiny. So no matter what they were able to say to Jesus Christ, no matter what they were able to accuse him of, no matter what they try, how much they try to lie on him, he always stood under it because he was truth. He's the truth. And you can never make the truth a lie because he's the truth. So he didn't, you know, it's almost like because he is the truth, he really didn't even have to defend himself. So I thank God that Jesus came, and not only did he bring truth, but he brought his grace so that I would be one who would have an opportunity to see my shortcomings, to not be judged by everything that I've done that came short of his glory. And that's only because of his grace. I'm saved today, and you're saved today, because of his grace, not our behavior, not our conduct, but his grace. So as we go into the communion, I just want to say, Lord, I thank you. And we should just take this time to just think about, as we go into this upcoming Thanksgiving season, just think about how much we have to be thankful for. First of all, we didn't seek to be saved by him, he sought us out. Let's be thankful for that. And then when he saved us, he cleansed us from every sin that we ever committed. Let's be thankful for that. Let's be thankful for the fact that he reconciled us back to the Father so that we now have peace with the Father. We're no longer enemies of the Father the way we were. We can be thankful for that. The Bible told us that when we believe that we were conveyed from darkness, from the kingdom of darkness into the dark, to the kingdom of light, and we changed, we went from death to life. Well, that was because of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for that. We have so much to be thankful for. He's the one that provides the roof over our heads. He's the one that provides the food on our table. He's the one that puts the clothing on our backs. He's the one that provides everything that we need. And he knows what we need before we even have that, before we even ask for it. Let's be thankful. And he knew we needed a Savior. And he came and provided that too. Let's be thankful for that as well. So on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. When we eat this bread, we must remember that this was symbolic. On the night that he did it, this was symbolic for his body that was about to be broken. Not just broken, but the more I study about that crucifixion, it was a very, very, very brutal crucifixion. We cannot even imagine the pain that our Savior went through. When he talks about the bread was broken, his body was broken. His flesh was laid open. His muscles could be seen. His veins could be seen. Ripped apart, ripped to shreds. We know how we whine about a paper cut. And he went through so much more. So on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." He knew what he was about to go through. "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And the blood, the precious blood, the only blood that could have cleansed us, the only blood that could save us, the only blood that can cover us, the only blood that could have taken away our sins. It wasn't that of bulls or goats or anything else. It had to be the blood of a lamb without blemish and without spot, which Jesus Christ was that lamb. His blood that he shed that day, and it was lots of it. He shed it for me and he shed it for you. So when he took the cup, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." I had to bleed for this new covenant. I had to bleed for this reconciliation. I had to bleed for this peace. I had to bleed for your salvation. He bled for it. And it covers the sins of many. So drink this. And as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, shows the Lord's death. It proclaims the Lord's death until he comes. And he is coming back. Praise God, praise God. He's coming back. If anyone wants to come up and pray, if anyone wants to come up and give their life to Christ and commit themselves to the Lord, maybe someone wants to come and recommit. If anyone wants to come up and lay some of those things on the altar that we talked about, maybe you see some of those things working in you and you just want to come up and repent for those things, you can do it. There'll be people here who will be really ready and willing to pray for you. The Lord bless you.
Stand together one more time if you can, please.